Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Praise the Lord on another Lord's Day that He has made. Yes, tonight is Saturday, January the 14th. Yes, it's Saturday, January the 14th, year 2017. How the time flies. We are now in the year 2017, and I thank God for this another year, another opportunity to give God praise and glory because we know that He is truly worthy to be praised. You are in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show, and I am your executive director and host, Brother James Brown Jr., coming to you live from Detroit, Michigan. We air every Thursday evening and Saturday evening from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Yes, I thank God for this platform. I thank God for every guest that comes over this platform to share the good news of Jesus Christ. So as we get ready to go move forward into this broadcast on tonight, I do want the listeners to know that after this prayer, I'm going to be opening up the phone lines for listeners to call in and share your testimonies. As I have stated before, the Lord has placed it in my spirit to get the listeners more involved. And by doing so, you will have an opportunity to call in and share your testimonies. God gets His glory through our testimonies. So worldwide listeners, this is your opportunity to call in and share your testimonies so that God will be glorified through your testimonies. Someone else will be helped and strengthened and blessed through your hearing your testimony, and you will be blessed by sharing your testimony. What you need to do now is get a pen and paper, take down this phone number. So in a few minutes, I'm going to open up the phone lines for you to call in and share your testimonies. You need to dial area code 657-383-1364. Once again, listeners, to call in and share your testimonies on tonight, you need to call area code 657-383-1364. So don't let the enemy let fear or doubt come into your heart or your mind by you not calling in and share your testimony where God will be glorified through your testimony on tonight. But as we move forward, we always open up in prayer, and we're going to do the same on tonight. So I'm asking all listeners to go in prayer with me at this time. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, if in the name of Jesus we come once again on tonight, Heavenly Father, on January the 14th, to give your name praise, we come to give you glory. We come to say thank you for this another day that you have made. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for who and all that you are. We know that there is none like you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, your mercy toward each one of us. We know that we're not worthy, we don't deserve it. Because of your love and your agape love and kindness and compassion toward us, you allowed us to see another day. So for this, we're grateful and we're thankful. So right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask, Heavenly Father, that you will go before us. We ask that you will search our hearts, Lord. We really don't need you to ask you to search our hearts because you already know what's in our hearts because you made us. But we ask him right now, in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, that you will forgive me, forgive my guest, Deacon Marvin Cox, of all of our sins and our transgressions and our family members, so that our prayers and your word, the message that's going to come forth through Deacon Marvin Cox on tonight will be not be hindered, but that you will be glorified through it. And, oh God, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and lift up all those that may be tuned in, that may be listening, Heavenly Father, that do not know your son, Jesus Christ, and do not have a personal relationship with your son. We pray, Lord, that as your word goes forth on tonight, that their spiritual ears and eyes will become open, that they will be able to open their own mouth and confess the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to come into their hearts, whereby they can be saved in his name, and they will come to know their God purpose. They will walk in it and live in it and fulfill their God purpose in the earth for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, I come thanking you from you sparing my brother Curtis's life on yesterday, Heavenly Father, as he had an episode where he could not breathe. But thank you that his wife was right there with him by his side, and he's still here with us in the land of the living. So I pray, Lord, that I know that he's saved, but he apparently do not know what his God purpose is. So it's my prayer on his behalf. So when he do come and praying to you, Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you will reveal to him what his God purpose is so that he, too, will be able to walk in his God purpose and live in it and fulfill it in the earth for your glory so that his living will not be in vain. So we thank you for him on tonight, Heavenly Father. And we come lifting up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. Touch, heal, and deliver as only you can, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Continue to console and comfort and strengthen those that are bereaved all over the land. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come lifting up all those that are incarcerated behind prison bars for just and unjust reasons. We pray, Lord, that you will move by your spirit even behind prison bars, that a word will go forth through a vessel, that even those that are behind prison bars would come to know Jesus Christ for themselves and be saved in his name on tonight. And Heavenly Father, those that are in nursing homes, or that are those that have been abused, men, women, boys, and girls that are living in shelters, even the homeless that are on the street, Heavenly Father, we ask that you will move by your spirit, that a vessel will come forth and speak a word into the lives of your people. They will be blessed, and they will look to the hills from which cometh their help. All of our help come from you. We thank you, Heavenly Father, again, for who and all that you are. We pray, Lord, that you will move by your spirit through Deacon Marvin Cox on tonight. We pray, Lord, that your word, we know it's not going to be in vain. So we just thank you in advance for Deacon Marvin Cox and what you're going to speak through him on tonight for your people. So we pray, Lord, and lift up all those that are listening on tonight, that they will be strengthened and blessed that the word goes forth over this airways on tonight, that you will be glorified is our prayer. And all the people of God that touch and agree with this prayer said amen. Well, on tonight, we do have a spiritual food for thought. And tonight's spiritual food for thought is salvation is still free, but time is running out. Once again, tonight's spiritual food for thought is salvation is still free, but time is running out. And that is a true fact. I'm asking all listeners at this time, if you would please go to blogtalkradio.com/servants ambassadors vessels, click on follow. Again, I'm asking all listeners, if you will please go to blogtalkradio.com/servants ambassadors vessels, and then click on follow. I do welcome all comments and feedbacks from my listeners. You can email me at James_Brown1558@yahoo.com. Again, I welcome all feedback and comments from my listeners. You can email me at James_Brown1558@yahoo.com, or I can be reached on Facebook. So right at this moment, I'm going to open up the phone lines and give the listeners an opportunity to call in and share your testimonies. At this time, the lines are not open. Again, do not allow fear or doubt or the enemy to steal you of your blessing because you did not call in and share your testimony when the opportunity was presented to you. So right now, the phone lines are open for listeners to call in from around the world. You can call this number, area code 657. It's the area code 657-383-1364. You can start calling in now if you would like to share a testimony. And again, I'm opening up the phone lines for a few minutes on tonight, and I will be doing this as often as the Lord says so, that the lines will be open for listeners to call in and share your testimonies. So again, the lines are open now for anyone that would like to call in to share a testimony. You know what the Lord has done for you. You know God has been good to you. You know he have healed you. He have saved you from when you was at death's door. Or he have brought you out of a situation. He have delivered you from alcohol, drugs, sexual addiction, whatever the case may be. The Lord, when the Lord stepped in and brought you out or delivered you or healed you, that's a testimony. So this is your opportunity, worldwide listeners, to call in and share your testimonies. I'm being obedient to what God has told me to do. So it's on you, listeners, now to call in and share your testimony. So I don't want to be accused by God by not being obedient by opening up the phone line. So now, listeners, it is your opportunity. I'm looking for someone, the first caller, to call in and share your testimony before we bring on our special guest on tonight in the person of Deacon Marvin Cox. He will be coming to us and bringing the word every second Saturday. So get familiar with his voice because he will be coming on every second Saturday to bring the word of God. And he's a member of Heavenly Light Baptist Church here in Detroit, Michigan. Again, we are coming to you live from Detroit, Michigan on tonight, January the 14th, 2017. And I'm still waiting on someone to call in to share your testimony. Again, I am being obedient to what God has told me to do. So listeners, this is your opportunity to share your testimony so that God will be glorified through your testimony on tonight and that you will be blessed and someone else will be helped and strengthened. Their faith will be increased by hearing your testimony on tonight. So should anyone want to call in and share a testimony, this is your opportunity, worldwide listeners, to call in now while the lines are open. Dial 657 area code 383-1364 to share your testimony. So right now, we're just going to keep the lines open for a few more minutes for anyone that would like to call in and share your testimony. We know that God is good. He is worthy to be praised. We know that the enemy do not want you to call in and share your testimony, but we know that he is a liar. He is a deceiver because that's what he does. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and he even wants to destroy your testimony. He wants to put fear and doubt in your heart and your mind. You may be even at your phone getting ready to dial in, and he may be messing with your mind and saying, don't do it. But I am telling you right now, even though we know the enemy has power, yes, he does, but he has limited power. The God we serve has all power, even over the enemy. So that's what Satan is afraid of. That's what he knows. He knows that his time is winding up. He knows that he is soon going to be defeated back to hell from which he came. So he don't want you to share your testimony. God gets his glory through our testimonies. So our listeners, on tonight, this is your opportunity, once again, for you to call in and share your testimony. So I'm allowing you to do so by opening up the phone lines again on tonight. The number that you need to dial is area code 657-383-1364. So the Lord is he's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our testimonies. So I see that no one has called in to share a testimony on tonight, but we're just going to keep moving forward on tonight. But I do want you all to know that in the future, I am going to be still opening up the phone lines for the worldwide listeners to get more involved and call in and share your testimonies. You can pass the word on to your family members, your friends, your church members, your neighbors, your coworkers. Let them know about this program. We come on every Thursday and every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And this is the first time that I am opening up the phone lines in the year 2017 for listeners to call in and share your testimonies. So right at this time, I see we're going to move forward because I don't see anyone have called in yet to share a testimony. But do know and do realize that in the future, as the Lord give me direction, I will be opening up this phone line for listeners to call in and share your testimony. So pass the word. Even if you don't share your testimony, pass the word on to someone that you know that will be willing and that will love to share their testimony. Pass the word. Let them know that they will have an opportunity to share their testimony worldwide so that someone else can be blessed by their testimony and God will get the glory and that you will be blessed by sharing your testimony. The word of God tells us that he will share his glory with no one. And so I know that whatever the God says, he stands by his word. And he watches over his word to perform it in our lives for his glory. He wants you to be blessed by you sharing your testimony. So you're talking about you're waiting on God? No, he's waiting on you. So don't get distracted by or let the enemy fool you and saying there's nothing to a testimony, but there's a lot to your testimony. God get glory through our testimonies once again. And then those that are listening who may not even know God, who may have a low esteem or their faith may be decreased, and it should be increased after hearing your testimony. So this is your opportunity on tonight, worldwide listeners, to call in and share your testimonies. Well, I see that no one has called in on tonight, so we're going to try it again on another day. As the time moves forward, we're going to bring forth Deacon Marvin Cox at this time. Do know that the phone lines will be opening as the Lord says so in the future. We will continue to open up this line for worldwide listeners to have an opportunity to share your testimonies worldwide for God's glory. Well, we have Deacon Marvin Cox getting ready to come forth with the word on tonight. Again, he will be coming forth over the worldwide broadcast platform to bring the word every second Saturday at the same time. Deacon Marvin Cox, he is a member of Heavenly Light Church, which is also located here in Detroit, Michigan. Deacon Marvin Cox, are you on the line?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord, Deacon Marvin Cox. Well, I was trying to give the listeners a chance and opportunity to call in and share their testimonies, but we're going to continue to move forward. At this time, before you go into your message on tonight, I'm going to ask you, as I always do, would you please share with the listeners again another testimony? And right after you share your testimony, I am going to do a musical selection. I'm going to go to my other room, and I'm going to do a musical selection entitled, Yes, God is Real. Yes, God is truly real, and I'm so glad he's real in my soul. He's really my life, and not only my life, but those that are truly born again and being doers of God's word who have allowed Jesus Christ to come into their hearts, and they're being doers of God's word. We know that God is real. So after Deacon Marvin Cox shared his testimony, I'm going to do a short musical selection, Yes, God is Real. And right after that, Deacon Marvin Cox will come back and bring forth the word for us on tonight. So, Deacon Marvin Cox, could you please share your testimony at this time?
Amen. I give honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, at the head of my life, to God my Father, and to my pastor, and to you, Brother Brown, to the listeners, and to all of my Father's children. I'm here tonight to let you know that miracles do happen. I'm so overjoyed. I asked the Lord something 20 years ago, not for myself, but for my wife. And he delivered on what I asked him the other day. I know a testimony is basically supposed to be about yourself, but since my wife is a part of me, I do believe that the word of God said that the two will become one flesh. So I am my wife, and she is me. My wife, she has diabetes. And you know that diabetes is a wasting disease. And over the last 20 years, you know, I've seen her go from about 200 pounds to 130 pounds. So in November, she ran out of medication. And we didn't see her doctor until early this year. And so I was praying to God that we would last, or she would last, you know, without having any complications until she's seen the doctor. So finally this past Monday, she went to the doctor. The doctor adjusted her medication. She told her that She wanted her to go draw some blood so that she could adjust her medication. She went Tuesday to the hospital. They had blood drawn, so she had to go back Wednesday. So she went back Wednesday. The doctor told her that she no longer, I repeat, she no longer had diabetes. And whatever it was that she was doing, that she wished that the rest of her patients would do also. But I'm so overjoyed because I asked the Lord 20 years ago, and sometimes, you know, we say that God is, you know, we want things right then and there. We want to rush God. But I know that he was using my wife as an example that you have to persevere. You have to be patient. You have to be able to just wait on the Lord. And I'm so glad because we had noticed that she had lost over the last 3 years, she lost almost 70 pounds. And when people see that you're losing weight, they always associate you losing weight with some type of a major illness, some type of a terminal illness. But in order for me to lose, I mean, in order for me to get into God's kingdom, I got to shed some of that fat, the fat of ignorance, the fat of disobedience, the fat of not doing what it is that God would have me to do. So I'm just so happy that God blessed my wife so that now she can go about doing what she needs to do, because I've had friends that have had diabetes that have had limbs cut off. I had friends and relatives who have had diabetes that are in kidney failure as we speak. But I just thank God for truly, as I was saying, I'm sharing this testimony, and it's concerning my wife, but it's also concerning me, because I asked the Lord when she was first diagnosed over 20-some years ago, Lord, this is a terrible disease. But I had to be like Paul at that particular time when Paul had a thorn in his side, and the Lord told him, suffer it to be so. So those that know the strength and the work of prayer, pray much for me and my wife and ours and yourself, that we all grow stronger in the name of the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. What a testimony. See, listeners, that is why the Lord put in my spirit to have all guests that comes on this platform, over this airway, to share a testimony. See, that's a testimony, and I'm sure that someone that is listening now, you may not have diabetes or be suffering from diabetes yourself, but you may have a family member or a friend or a close friend or loved one that is suffering with diabetes. So did you hear that powerful testimony? She is free from diabetes. It took over 20-some years, but as you said, you got to be perseverance. You have to, even though it may be a thorn in your flesh, a thorn in the side, but you have to trust God. Just like Sarah and her husband, Abraham, when they was waiting to have a child, and the Lord told them they would have a son, and they laughed because they didn't think it was possible. But look what God did. They, in their old age, they had a son. So God is faithful to his word. So I thank God for that powerful testimony on tonight, Deacon Marvin Cox. So listeners, know that God delivered her. He healed her of diabetes, and he's the same God that healed her. He can do it for you as well. So that's why testimonies are important, that we share them with others so that their faith can be increased, to know that if God delivered her and healed her from diabetes, that same God can heal and deliver you or your loved one from diabetes as well. So, Deacon Marvin Cox, we thank you for sharing that powerful testimony on tonight. Yes, you are right. The Word of God says when man and woman becomes married, when they're ordained by God to be married, yes, they become one flesh. So, yes, you have a right to share a testimony on her behalf because you are one. You two are one. So we thank God for you, and we thank God that she is healed and free from diabetes on tonight. We thank God. Nobody but God did that. So we thank you for sharing that powerful testimony on tonight. So, but at this time, I'm going to do a musical selection entitled, Yes, God is Real. And right after I conclude with this musical selection, I am going to yield. I'm going to come back and yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox, who's going to bring forth the word on tonight. So be blessed by this instrumental musical selection, Yes, God is Real. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord on tonight. And that was, Yes, God is Real. I played that, your host played that song because I know deep down in my soul, I know without a doubt that God is real. So right at this time, we're going to bring forth Deacon Marvin Cox, who's going to bring forth the word. Deacon Marvin Cox, I yield the mic to you at this time.
Amen. May we bow our heads. Gracious Father, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My Father, in the name of Jesus, we come, thanking and praising you for being so kind and so merciful unto us. My Father, we ask that you search me. My Father, remove anything that is not like you from me. Father, also ask all of you and none of me. Father, ask that you touch the hearts and the minds of the listeners. My Father, maybe someone out there grieving. Father, we ask that you comfort them. Father, maybe someone out there that needs a friend. Father, we ask that you be a friend unto them. Father, we ask if there's someone out there that needs a healing. My Father, you know what we stand in need of. My Father, most importantly, my Father, we ask that you bless your word on tonight. My Father, so that the recipients of your word, my Father, will get a true and an honest understanding of the message that is intended for tonight. My Father, we ask these and all blessings in your Son Jesus' name. In his name we do pray. Amen. And I won't prolong you with the time, but I thank God for the message that he has allowed for me to bring you tonight. I'm coming to you tonight in the capacity of a teacher. And for those of us that may be advanced in the word, you know that a teacher does not assume that those that are the recipients of their teaching No, so they have to walk them through it. And it's not that other people are elementary, but it may be some new listeners tonight. It may be someone that just stumbled across the dial and wanted to hear the word of God. And sometimes we just naturally assume when we quote scriptures that people know what it is that we're talking about, but I thank God because he's going to allow me tonight to break down certain scriptures so that we get hopefully a better understanding. I thank you for once again giving me this opportunity to come into your living rooms, to your houses, to wherever you may be at this particular time, wherever the sound of my weak voice may fall upon. I'm just thankful. But tonight, we have a topic that hopefully will touch the hearts and the mind of everyone. I've never seen since Brother Brown mentioned that this year is really moving fast. But since the beginning of the year, I've never seen or never heard so many Christians, so many of my brothers and my sisters that were so uncertain about their future. So many of my brothers and my sisters are about ready to give up because it seems like there's no hope out there. But tonight I'm here to give you hope, to give you something to look forward to, because our confidence in our surroundings is not as it should be. But I have a message for you tonight, and it's coming from Hebrews 11 chapter, the first verse, and it's a familiar passage of scripture that that I'm more than sure that quite a few of us are familiar with. It says that, and it's talking about faith. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And it's time for each and every last one of us to hold fast to your faith. And our topic for tonight is the main ingredients of faith. We must trust and believe. Those are two most important things. And I will read to you from, I just read to you from the book of St. James, New King James Version. No, King James Version, so I'm sorry. Hebrews 11 chapter and the first verse. And that's why I be references. As I bring forth different scriptures, I give you time to go and not just take my word for it, but read it yourself and then ask the Lord to open up your understanding to that which you have read, because a lot of us read, but our comprehension of what we read, we can all read one scripture and all get a different understanding of that same scripture. But I'm just asking the Lord to put us all tonight on one accord, to trust and to believe. It's a lot of us that have become fearful. We've become fearful. Why? Because we think that our incomes are in jeopardy. We think that our health insurance is in jeopardy. We think that, you know, our pension, we just think that it's going to be a rough year. We have already anticipated that it's going to be a rough year, but I got a message for you. Not so. That's not so. We got to not allow things to overtake us. We got to trust and believe in the Lord. And I have a few scriptures that's going to fluctuate between faith, trust, and belief. First of all, we got to find out what faith is. Now, Lord, open up my understanding that faith is complete trust and belief and confidence in something or someone. Do you trust God? Do you believe in God? And do you have the confidence that God is going to do what he says he's going to do? If you do, then we're on the way. If you notice it says complete, does it mean 90%? Does it mean 95%? It means we have to have 100% faith and trust. I mean, faith, trust, and belief in God. Now, moving right along, we must know that God is our protector. He has told us in his word that he will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. It's time for us to exercise that in the faith, the trust, and and belief, they're very few unique words because they could act as a noun, but they also act as a verb. And we know that a noun is the name of something. But we know that a verb puts things into action. So faith, trust, hope, belief, believe, all of these things are things that we must put into motion. We can't sit down and exercise our faith. We can't sit down and trust. We have to put these things into effect. And so I have a scripture here. It's Mark, the 5th chapter, 36th verse. It say, "Be ye not afraid, only believe." My brothers and my sisters, it's time to rid ourselves of the fear of the oncoming year. Fear of what people have promised us. The fear of not being able to make ends meet. We got to turn it over to God. We have to put ourselves in a position that God is paying our bills, that God is the navigator, because he says in his word, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. I, John, the 4th chapter, 18 verse says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So if you want to be perfect in love, you have to rid yourself or ask God to take your fear away. And I remember as a child, my parents, they gave me the confidence that I needed in order to make it through as a young child. It was a dog down the street. And it was a vicious dog. And every time I passed the fence, this dog would come to the fence and he would bark and bark. And I became so fearful that I walked on the other side of the street. And you know parents don't want you to walk across the street unattended. So I allowed my fear to erode the confidence that my parents had instilled in me, which is what we sometimes do. So moving right along, right around Christmas time, or getting close to Christmas vacations, I was walking down the street and this dog, he was just a barking and barking and barking, and I did something that they said you're not supposed to do with a wild animal. I established eye contact with this dog. And I asked him, I said, why are you barking like this? Why, you know, why you, every time I come past here, you seem so upset. Then I said something that I don't know why I said. I told the dog, I said, Merry Christmas. And the dog stopped barking at me and started wagging his tail. And so everybody that came past there from that point on, the dog, he was just so nice, you could even go up to the fence and pat him. But I'm just saying that I allowed my fear, just like we're allowing our fear of what's going on today, to overshadow what it is that God has done for us, what it is that God has told us to do, because fear will paralyze you. Fear will put you in a position that you become complacent, or when you're fearful of something, you don't even want to deal with it, any type of thing. So we're going to go back now to Hebrews. It says the evidence faith is the substance of things hoped for. And I got some information for you tonight that I know it shook me. Faith is not what we think it is. It says complete trust in something or someone. We think that our faith or the things hoped for, I want to deal with that momentarily. See, faith does not deal with the wishes of men. It deals with the promises of God. Over in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, the 4th verse, it says that there's one hope, one God, and so forth and on. So my hope should be in the things that God will have me to do. Now, if we say that I got faith that I'm going to get that job, I've got faith that this is going to happen or that's going to happen, then that faith right there, believe it or not, will lead me to disappointment. Because what if God didn't want me to have that? What if I wanted a new car and God knew that I couldn't afford it and knew that if I got the car, that I'm going to lose my house because I love the car more than I love my house. So God would not allow me to have that house if he didn't if he didn't intend for me to have it. But see, sometimes we go overboard and sometimes we make other people look like we are liars concerning God. Well, I got faith that it's going to happen. But if it's not the promise of God, if it's not what God intended for us to have, now we could modify that statement by saying, if it's in God's will, I got faith that if it's in God's will, that I will have it. So sometimes we make boastful statements because we do believe that we're going to get it. We do trust that God is going to deliver for us. But sometimes we just have to be careful because you never know who's listening. I had faith that the Lord would heal my wife. I had complete faith. I just didn't know how long it would take him to implement that. Now, we're going to move right along. We're going to go to believe. We're going to go over to the Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter, verses 1, 2, and 3. And the Lord is letting each and every last one of us know something really important here today. It says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, also believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. But not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will. I want to stop there. When God says, I will, God just promised. He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. See, this is the hope that faith is talking about. Hebrews 11 and 1 is talking about this hope right here, that God fulfilled the promise. And we know that God cannot lie, but that God fulfilled the promise that he has made unto me. He said, I will. And there's no greater promise than will. That means that when God says he will, it is a certainty. We just don't know the time that he may implement that. So, but it says, believe. Okay, now we know that when you believe in something, we know that belief is that something is a certainty to you. We know that belief is the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of. We know that God is reliable. We know that God is nothing but the truth, so help us. We know that God has the ability to do anything but fail. We know that God has the strength to move mighty obstacles out of our way. So we know that when we implement our belief in God, we are certain, we are sure. There's no doubt in our mind that God is going to do what it is that he said he's going to do. Now we're going to slip back to trust again and say, trust is a firm belief in the reliability, the truth, and it's synonymous with belief, confidence, faith, certainty, assurance, conviction, and reliance. Now, man may disappoint you. Man may let you down. Man may stall out on you. But all those things, it's good to know that I can rely on God. It's good to know that he will meet my needs. And sometimes we have unrealistic needs. Sometimes we begin to ask for things and say God deals, faith is dealing basically with the promises of God and not the wishes of man. Because, you know, a lot of us wish we had a better job. A lot of us wish that things wasn't going so bad. But as he told Paul, some things we just have to suffer to be so. We cannot allow ourselves. And then Job, he said that he would trust in God. He said that he, even when things were going against Job, even when it seemed like he was on the verge of losing his life, Job, hold on, Job told the people, he told God that even though ye slay me, I would trust in you. So even when we think that God has won against us, even though when we think that God has turned his back away from us, I mean turned his back to us, Job said that he will trust in God. He will believe in God. And so it's time for us to check our faith and say, what time am I afraid I would trust in thee? And God, I will praise his word. And God, I will put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me. And that's Job. I've lost my note right here, but it's in Job. I think it's in the 13th chapter, the 15th verse. So if we just listen to what Job is saying here for a minute. So what time am I afraid I will trust in thee? In God, I will praise his word. In God, I will put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me. So my brothers and my sisters who feel that this is going to be a rough year, who feel that there's no way out, who feel that our quality of life is being threatened by policymakers and our quality of life is going to diminish because people want to take away our health insurance. People want to take away those things that we worked hard for. But see, I'd rather have assurance than insurance. Because, see, insurance can replace, it could replace some of those things that I've lost, those things that were near to me. But it's nothing more dearer to me than my life. I want to have life assurance. I want to have life in it more abundantly. Because you can wreck your car and get a brand new car, but it does not have the sentimental value of that older car. So some things can be replaced, but only materialistically. So we have to take into consideration these things. We have to believe. We have to trust. We have to lean. We have to depend. We have to rely on God. We have to believe that his word is so. And we're going to move right along to hope. We know that hope is an expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. Now, I can't speak for anybody else, but my hope is in the Lord. I hope that the promises that have been made unto me, that I would be able to be the recipient of that. Because I can adjust to living in a one-room apartment. I could adjust to riding a bicycle instead of a car. But these are just temporary things. I want to be in that position so that when God asks me, servant of the Lord, what would you have me to do? Come up higher. I found favor in that which you've done for me. You were faithful of a few things. Now that's what my hope is. My hope is in God's eternal greatness, his eternal love. Because, see, that eternal love, we can get something temporarily, and 5 minutes from now, we got a lust or we got a desire for something else. But something that never ends, something that will last forever. This is what we should thrive for. It's time for us, my brothers and my sisters, to trust and to believe. To trust like we never trusted before, because now man is doing everything that he can to erode our confidence in God's word. Let's say I use that example of the dog, because I know that my parents didn't lie to me. I knew that they had my well-being, my best interest in mind, as well as heart. They told me, don't worry about that dog, because dogs are territorial. And anytime somebody comes into their space, they're going to bark, they're going to react like that. But they knew that the gate was too high for the dog to get over. But my mind told me, as we all do when people threaten us, they actually can do this. But nobody can do anything against you, just like the Lord told a few of the folks. Hey, you can't. They said, "Boy, I'm just paraphrasing here. Boy, we can kill you. We can do this. We can do that." But the Lord said, paraphrasing here, "You can't do nothing to me unless my Father allow you to do it." Now, if that's not confidence, if that's not faith, if that's not hope, if that's not trust, if that's not belief, I don't know what is. So it's time for us to eradicate fear out of our life. Time to trust, not in man, but to trust in God. It's time for us to do. But see, all of these things would be null and void if we did not serve him. That's the most important thing. See, Job served the Lord. And he served the Lord wholeheartedly. Now, all of these things that I just mentioned, if you don't submit yourself to the Lord, we're going to hope that we get that new car. But as I say, God don't, you know, faith is not dealing with the wishes of men. Because we all wish that we were in a better financial situation. We all wish that we might get a little bit more recognition. We all wish that our relatives would get better or recover from illnesses. But that one hope, in Ephesians that it says one hope, and that hope is in God and the things that he has promised. And we look on all those promises that apply to us because of what? Our faithfulness. I say it again, because of our faithfulness, because of our obedience, because of our service unto him. God is looking at all these things. I mean, he wants us to bring forth to him a reasonable service. He wants us to be that example, be that city that sits on the hill. He wants to use us as an example like he used Job. He wants us to trust and believe in him. Because there's been many times that we're waiting on the Lord or we needed something, and then somebody, and we just ran out of patience. It requires us to have patience. And then we made a deal with the devil in the 11th hour. I'm more than sure each and every last one of us have done that. Might have called a cab. And then it seemed like that cab wasn't coming, not realizing that he might have took your call way on the other side of town, bringing a fare to this side of town. And we finally made up our mind that that cab wasn't coming. We called and canceled it. 2 minutes later, that cab was outside our house blowing. See, God operates sometimes in that frame that we run out of patience, and then when we run out of patience, we begin to doubt God. But my belief is that even if God don't do it, I know that he can. Even if my desire is not fulfilled, I know that he can. Even if that which I covet and I crave, I do not be the recipient of, I know that God can. My brothers and my sisters, you should know that God can change things. He can reverse things. He can make things work out in your favor. This is the trust and belief that he's asking us to have in him. This is the faith that he's asking us to have in him. And each and every last one of us, we have moments of weakness where we begin to doubt or where we feel threatened by something or someone, and we think we're going to lose out on something that we think is essential in our survival. But God is the only hope that I have that is essential to my survival. He's the only trust that I have that I can take another breath while I'm talking to you. He's the only belief that I have that a better day is coming. It's time for us to take our focus off of man. Time for us to stop trusting in man. It's time for us to have more confidence in God. I mean, those people that you can trust, God will let you know. But even sometimes, even the most trustworthy person might catch a cold, might come down with the flu, might get a flat tire on the way picking you up. But God, his promises, he said he's going to do what he's going to do, and he's going to do them. Even the 10th commandments, when it says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days might be long upon the land which the Lord thy God may give it thee. That's one of the first commandments with a promise attached to it. If I could just break it down for honor, you know, respect your parents. And I will extend your days. There's another, I will. I mean, I know you're not supposed to add or take anything away from it, but I'm just translating. Say, so that thy days, in other words, if you do these things, then I add a few more days to your life. So that is my hope, that I treat people right, so that my days, my parents, but see, they don't necessarily have to be my biological parents. They could be my parents in the church. They could be my parents in the neighborhood. And the thing about that is that they don't necessarily have to be older than me. So it's time, my brothers and my sisters, for each and every last one of us to trust and to believe and to have hope and to have faith, because God is good. And my message to you tonight is, don't allow yourself to be knocked off your square. Trust and believe in God's word, and he will make your path straight. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord on tonight. For that, my message on tonight, the main ingredients of faith is trust and believe. And that was brought to you by our own Deacon Marvin Cox. And again, he will be coming forth with the word every second Saturday. He will be bringing forth the word, powerful word from a man of God. So we thank you, Deacon Marvin Cox, for bringing another powerful word on tonight. And I know that the listeners were blessed by it on tonight. And hopefully that someone's faith has been increased after hearing the word. And most of all, we pray that someone that was spiritually blind is now able to open their own mouth and confess the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved in his name on tonight. But as we get ready to close out in prayer, as we always do, we want to, again, thank Deacon Marvin Cox for that powerful word on tonight and that powerful testimony. But it's the time for me to wrap up for tonight, but we're going to close out in prayer. And we're going to close out in prayer on tonight with a prayer for our incoming president, that all will be well, that he will have God in his life, have Jesus in his life, that he will be able to hear from God, and when he prayed to God, that God will be able to hear his prayer and answer his prayer regarding the people in America and around the world for God's glory. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, it is in Jesus' name we come once again to say thank you for this another day, another opportunity to give your name praise, glory, and honor. We pray, Lord, that as the word went forth, we pray, Lord, that should there be anyone that was listening on tonight that did not know Jesus Christ, they can now open their mouth and confess the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved in his name. We pray, Lord, for an incoming president, Donald Trump and his cabinet, any of them that are not saved, should they not be saved, we pray, Lord, that after tonight they will be able to open their own mouth, confess the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved in his name as well, so that when they pray, Lord, they will be able to hear a word from you, so that you will be able to intercede on their behalf of their prayer regarding your people all over the land. Heavenly Father, that they can be doers of your word as well. We pray, Lord, that you will lead and guide incoming President Donald Trump and all those that are going to be surrounded by him and his cabinet, Republicans and Democrats, that they will come on one accord, because we know that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And we know that your word tells us we are to watch as well as pray. So we are looking to the hills from which cometh all of our help. All of our help comes from you, Heavenly Father. So we are know that you are in total control. It matters not who's in the White House, but we know that you are our Heavenly Father, and you know what's best for us. And we thank God that you sit high and you look low. And we know that you're in total control at all times. You never slumber nor sleep. You cannot fail nor lie. And you cannot change. So we thank you for who and all that you are on tonight. We just bless your name on tonight. Thank you for your grace and mercy towards each one of us. Continue to bless the listeners. We pray, Lord, that you would just continue to move by your spirit in each one of our lives, that your will be done in our lives, that you will be glorified through it all. And the people of God, and we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, know that God loves you on tonight. I love you too. Continue to be blessed. Continue to be doers of God's word, and let God lead you. And when God leads you, you can't go wrong. So we thank you, Heavenly Father, again for this another blessed broadcast on tonight. Deacon Robert Cox, we thank you for this powerful word on tonight. Continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.
Good night.
Come on, KD.
An old song from North Carolina, Currituck, North Carolina. Maybe some of y'all know this, but I'm going to sing this song here. My, my, my. Pray for me. Yes, sir.